Amen. Good morning, saints. Well, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Philippians 1. This morning's message is entitled, The Courage to Walk Worthy. Have you ever been afraid? Sometimes I have these irrational fears. How about you? At night, I'm at the church. It's like 11:30. I should be at home. And I walk down the hall because, you know, I don't turn any lights on. I want to save the energy. But suddenly, a figure appears in my imagination. But it seems real in front of me. And no one else is here, but I'm like running through the halls just to make it to the restroom. We are creatures of fear because we are small, aren't we? And yet the Bible tells us that we are not to fear over and over and over again. Hundreds of times, I believe 365 times in the Bible, there is the command not to fear, not to be anxious, not to be worried. Maybe one for every day of the year. To remind us, because we do become afraid. Not just at night when we think the boogeyman is out, but real areas of our life that really rob us of the joy that is in our relationship with Christ. So this morning, I want us to look at the command that we have in the scriptures. And if you will stand as we read this command in Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 27, the command to walk worthy. This is God's word. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is God's word. You may be seated. This fearless unity, this fearless forward movement, walking worthy of Christ, he says, is a sign of salvation for those who are saved. And it is a sign of perdition and destruction for those who are lost. Your life is a sign, as Paul says in another place. Your life is a living letter. So it is absolutely imperative this morning that you walk with courage. Don't be afraid. This culture that we live in is trying to effeminize society. And they're trying to emasculate men and make ladies more masculine. They're trying to switch the roles. It's all confusing. Aren't you glad for the revelation of God's word that we tremble before? His truth that has opened our eyes to reality in the face of a radical rebellion and departure from even what nature teaches? Aren't you thankful for biblical masculinity and femininity? I want you to understand that the church is to take up holy arms. We are to have the weapons of our warfare, which are spiritual and not carnal. And we are to be courageous. And this is a call to courage by the Apostle Paul. He says, in nothing allow your enemies to intimidate you. In everything, you should have courage. Where does courage come from? Where does that holy ambition to deny self and follow God, no matter what you feel like, where does that come from? Well, it comes, and we're going to find out through these four foundations of courage, that each one of these foundations that we're going to look at in this passage come from an undaunted faith in Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I know that you're struggling with fear, because every single one of us struggles with fear. And fear robs us of our time, and worry and anxiety steals our joy. I have a little plaque on my wall in my bedroom. It says Shalom in both English and in Hebrew. And my little daughter Ava looked at it this morning and she said, "Daddy, what does that say?" I said, "It says Shalom." "What does that mean?" It means wholeness in God. Perfect wholeness. That's where God wants us to be. In His Shalom. In His perfect wholeness. Fear, anxiety, worry robs us of the fullness of God. The Bible commands us to be filled with what? All the fullness of God. To be filled, not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we supposed to be filled with fear? No. And yet this week, Satan will tempt you, your own flesh will tempt you, to waste your time with fear. Can I get a witness? Well, I want you to see these four foundations of courage in the passage. Because what the world is waiting for is a Christian who is truly transformed and who has the courage of the gospel in their heart. What the world needs right now is the message of the gospel. But they are going to ignore the gospel if you give them reason to, because you're cowering in fear. You're filled with worldliness because you don't want to experience fear. And so you turn to other things instead of what God has. And this morning, my hope and my heart is that every single one of us here would understand that courage is available to all of you because it is rooted in the gift of faith that God has given each one of us. It's not something that you need to muster up. It's a gift that you need to utilize. You need to look to Jesus. That's where courage comes from. When the circumstances are intimidating, when the fear rises in your heart, you need to see the great God that you serve and realize that those fears are really but a whisper in light of the grandeur and majesty of our infinite God. We have a great God. We live under the shadow of the Almighty. Why do we cower? It is because we lack faith. It is because we look to ourselves instead of looking to our great and mighty and powerful and infinite God. And so we see the first foundation in verse 27, which is faithfulness. And some of this is review, but we need it. "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Standing firm, striving forward. Those two things, those two ideas. Standing firm. Not, don't lose ground. And yet, striving forward, side by side. Not ceding any ground, but taking ground for the gospel's sake. Can I ask you, are you ready to grow more into the image of Christ today. I'm not just talking about theoretically. I'm talking not just talking about things that you can do in your life. I'm talking about things that God does. And it's amazing. And others notice. I'm talking about an angry man becoming kind. I'm talking about a worldly person who's distracted by worthless things becoming minded, heavenly minded and eternal minded. I'm talking about real change in our relationships, in our marriages, between parents and children. I'm talking about where God touches your heart and you see that He's flowing through you and touching lives. Do you want that? It all starts with Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Nothing comes from me. If it's messed up, it's because I did it. You did it. If it's good and perfect, it's because God gave it. And do you want that this morning? Do you want that faithful life? I think of a guy by the name of Ebenezer. Not Ebenezer. Thinking of a song we sang last. Eliezer. Boy, another E word. Great names for you all who, ladies who are pregnant. Ebenezer or Eliezer, wonderful, both wonderful names, wonderful names. But Eliezer was a man in 2 Samuel 23. And he was one of David's mighty men. And the Bible says the whole army came up against 800 Philistines. And they went in and they began to conquer, but the battle was too fierce. And all the other Israelites, the soldiers, they retreated. But Eliezer fought faithfully until the battle was won. And the scripture says in 2 Samuel 23:9 that he had fought so hard and he was so focused that at the end of the battle, his hand clave to his sword. That's who we are in Christ. We are all Eliezers. Not because of some great, amazing gift that Eliezer, some personal skill that he had, but because of the gracious presence of God with Eliezer was he able to do that. And same with us. If there is a lack of consistency, if there is a lack of predictability in your life, if you're lacking in faithfulness, in loyalty to the cause of Christ, in an aggressive forward movement, then you need faith in the Lord. You need to renew, refocus, recalibrate, and invigorate your trust in Jehovah God. He's mighty, He's able. When I was a little kid, 9 years old, I was at Scarlet Oak Park. And Larry Huddle was there and his gang. Larry was 13, I was 9. And that he had a gang of kids. And there was some wood that we were fighting over. We wanted to make a tree house. And he said, "It's my wood." I said, "No, I got here first." I had courage until his gang came out and held me down. And he took a slingshot and he actually put a rock in my right eye. I couldn't see for days. But then I heard Ralphie John, he's visited here. He said, my childhood best friend, he said, "Here comes the gang from the neighborhood. And my brother David and Billy Voorhees and Brian Voorhees, who was taller than Billy. They all came and I stood up and I was strong again. I was courageous because I was with them." And I want you to know that you can be courageous this morning because Christ says, "You're with me. You're with me." Can I just say that there needs to be a gritty faithfulness about our obedience to Christ? Not a fleshly obedience, but a grace-filled, a love-filled obedience. a kind of humble obedience, where we're moving forward, knowing that there's no power in ourselves to do it. But as we fill our hearts with the promises of God, faith builds. And when faith builds, faithfulness grows. As your faith rises, your consistency in your Christian life will rise. And some of you have been giving up on certain things in your life. And I say, don't cede that ground. Go forward. Stand firm. Don't go backwards. Don't backslide. Stand firm in faithfulness. Strive forward together for the gospel. But the second thing, the second foundation of courage is not just a humble reliance on God for faithfulness, but a humble reliance on God for forcefulness. Again, I mentioned the effeminization of our society. And when hard things come into our lives, we want to just give up. We want to say, you know what? Maybe the Bible doesn't teach what it has always taught for 3,500 years or 2,000 years, whichever part of the Bible you're quoting. And you see this among, quote unquote, Christian bloggers and Christian pastors, and they're ceding ground. That which has been established since the creation of the world, they're saying, well, you know, maybe we got it wrong. Maybe God got it wrong. They're not that clear, but that's essentially what they're communicating. And I want you to understand the words that Paul is entreating the church at Philippi with are forceful words. I mentioned the word standing firm, not ceding any ground, is the term for a soldier as a Roman legionnaire, standing side by side with their shields and refusing to move backwards and only moving forward. And that word striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, that's such an interesting term. I mentioned last week it comes from the Olympics. Olympic athletes. And this week in my study, I was surprised to know specifically it was referring to wrestling. Now, I grew up with Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper and all that crazy stuff. Even went to some of the WrestleMania events. And that's not the kind of wrestling we're talking about. The interesting thing about the ancient wrestling is that the wrestlers, it was not a personal or individual event. They would line up side by side, and they would go together against a whole other team, all at the same time. What a picture of the gospel. Now you understand that there is a forcefulness that comes personally for an athlete. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Deny yourself if you want to follow me. No soldier entangles himself with the things of this world. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and endure hardness, endure suffering. There is a personal sense in which self-denial marks the Christian life. And when we speak of self-denial, we're speaking of the old life that needs to be denied. The life that is focused on self. And some of you here, when you were lost, you had the tendency to feed your fears. That life is over. That life is dead. When you were lost, you had a tendency not only to feed your fears, but feed your flesh. When you had a problem, there were many things that you turned to. That life is gone. You see, to become a Christian, you have to go to your own funeral daily. you have to say, this life that is focused on self, it actually ends up in futility and chaos every time. And so there is this need to deny self. Because if you focus on yourself, you're going to lack courage, right? But if you focus on Christ and all the riches that you have in Christ, you're going to be filled with courage. Can I share with you what the Bible says about how this works? How can I become forceful? How can I have boundaries in my life? How can I have discipline in my life? How can I say, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what? And have that kind of forcefulness and self-denial. It does not come from self. It comes from union with Christ. Christ died on Mount Calvary. You died with him. Christ was buried. You were buried with him. Christ rose from the dead, and you were raised with the same power that raised him from the dead, Paul says. Christ ascended and is seated on the right hand of God, and you, dear saints, are seated at this moment in the heavenlies. Your forcefulness comes from the force that raised Christ from the dead. And it is the divine hand moving your life. That's the kind of force that we need. And this personal forcefulness transcends and comes into a corporate forcefulness. It says here in verse 27, this is beautiful, you've got to see this. He says he wanted to hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. How do we get people who are so different and who have so many different goals and ambitions and objectives to move forward with one spirit? And you know, some of us, we want to please everybody. And if you can do that, if you can please everybody, if you have that ability, we want to hire you at Living Hope Bible Church. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, you can please some of the people some of the time. You can please all the people some of the time, but you cannot please all of the people all of the time. If you try to do that, it will result in great discouragement and slavery. So how do we come to that oneness of spirit? It is when we abandon our ambitions to the Holy Spirit with one spirit and one mind that He gets to have all of you. It's all of Christ in all of you. That's oneness. All of Christ in all of you personally, all of Christ in all of you corporately. Striving side by side. Like wrestlers, ancient athletes, defeating the other team. Where does that come from? We're going to get to that. It comes from the favor of God. That's our last point, but I'm getting ahead of myself. The next foundation after faithfulness and forcefulness is fearlessness. Verse 28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Clear sign. This is so interesting. He's essentially saying walking worthy in courage is the sign to the world that you're saved and they're lost. That you have salvation and they have destruction. And the clear sign, the evident token, as it says in the Old King James Version, is such an interesting word. It comes from the gladiator games. And when a gladiator would either be defeated or give up, or in some way kind of lose the match, though he wasn't dead. Caesar, the emperor, he would either give the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Even though he might have lost, he might have fought valiantly. And Caesar would give the thumbs up. But if it didn't seem like he had fought valiantly, he'd give the thumbs down. Life or death. And God says, when we walk around as Christians living fearlessly, not being afraid of our enemies, not being afraid of anything that is coming at us in life, any trouble, any difficulty, when we live that way, it is speaking to them. It is giving them, as Paul says in another place, an aroma of Christ. And sometimes it's an aroma of life for those who believe. They see their need of the Savior. They say, I am lost. I have the thumbs down sign. I'm totally lost. And I need the thumbs up sign. I need to be saved. And so your life, your testimony, your courage going forward in the faith of the gospel is an evident token. It is a clear sign of your salvation, but of the world's destruction. Did you know, as we sang this morning, the earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. There's coming a day when Christ, our conquering King, shakes the heavens and the earth, and only that which is eternal will remain. Oh, that day's coming. We ought to have courage in this life. What is it that the world needs this morning? They need courageous saints going forward, boldly proclaiming the faith of the gospel. Is Jesus King? Is he a mighty Savior? Can He save any sinner? Shouldn't that be on our lips going forward with the faith of the gospel striving side by side? Where's your faithfulness? Are you faithful to your family? What do you do when you're not at church? If God has entered into your life, I know that your heart's desire is to glorify Him in everything that you do. I hope that you're faithful in going by the grace of God into your room and closing the door and praying to God in private. I hope that that is part of your life, this kind of consistent faithfulness. If your life is all over the place and you're filled with fear or worldliness, fleshliness, then I would guess that you are lacking faith. And you say, well, I got to work it up. No, you don't. That is such a lie. You don't have to work it up. You just have to realize that you have it already. You've already received all that you need in Christ. You don't have to be a part of this. You need to get yourself out of the equation. And you need to receive the forgiveness, the kindness of God that is at your disposal 24/7 since you were born again. But you say, Pastor Matt, what is the real secret to courage? And I think we see this in the last couple of verses. And we'll call that the foundation of favor. It's not about us. It's about what He has given us. Verse 29. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Remember the conflict that Paul had when he came into Philippi, and they jailed him, they beat him and Silas? What was their response to it? Why in the world would they sing? Why would they begin bursting forth in praise to God? Can you tell me that? Why? Because that's a very unusual response to suffering. Why? Because it had been granted to them to have faith. It had been granted to them to suffer for the worthy name of Jesus. And they counted themselves unworthy to suffer for his sake. So there's two gifts that we see in this passage. The first is obvious. Faith is a gift from God. Why did I come to the feast? Why am I still not starving out in the world? We sang it this morning. Christ spoke to me through the Bible, through the Word of God. And the Spirit opened my eyes and made me tremble. That's a gift. And the faith, saving faith, is a gift from God. I was not seeking Him. He wasn't lost. I was lost. God was seeking me. But saving faith is one thing. What about sanctifying faith? It's all one salvation. It's all one faith. The same faith that saved me is the same faith that sanctifies me. And I rely upon the gift of God. What does that mean? That means that the Spirit of God only can open up my eyes to His revelation and in His Word. And that is why we must be continually reading the Word of God, not in order to gain God's favor, but because we have God's favor already. We have His favor. He's your Father. He's your Abba. Fathers, don't you love just talking with your kids? When they just kind of, this morning Ava ran into my room and she hugged me and she whispered in my ear, "I love you." And I said, "I love you more." And I said, "No, I love you more." And she said, "I love you more. I love you the most." And I said, "Impossible." God wants to have some sweet conversations with you like that. And you can't attain it in your own power. Often when we read the Bible, we read it through the eyes of legalism and law. And we turn promises that were meant to fill us with God's grace and power, we turn those things into human effort, things that we have to climb in order to get where we need to be. And it's not how it goes. I don't climb to heaven. Jesus carries me. It's all about God's favor. And you have it. Just read Ephesians 1 and we're done. Ephesians 1, if you would. Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth." Peace on earth. Goodwill, grace towards men, sinners. That's where courage comes from. It's not about your plan and how you're going to defeat fear or how you're going to defeat fleshliness or how you're going to defeat so many other things that tangle you up. It's not about that. It is about looking to our great God. He is an awesome God. Amen? Martin Luther was brought before the Diet of Worms. Now, that sounds funny in English. It sounds like Diet of Worms, but has nothing to do with nutrition. It was a council at the city of Worms where he stood before the leaders of Europe and the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church, which could destroy him. And they said, you must recant, essentially of teaching the gospel that the justified one, will live by faith. It's by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. That's what Martin Luther taught. And if you read his biographies, there's a wonderful biography of him by Alex Metaxas. And he says that, you know, in the movies, they show Martin Luther as just standing before this council, you know, with this brazenness. But that's not how it was. In fact, at first, when he was presented with all of these things, he trembled and he could barely speak. And it was through the night that he wrestled with God. And the next day, he still trembled. But by focusing on Christ and trusting by faith in his great God, he was able to utter the words, or something like this: "Here I stand. I can do no other." We are weak. We tremble. But here we stand. And here we move forward. Christ has bought us. Christ has placed us in his body. Christ has filled us with faith and the Holy Spirit. And we can do nothing. We cannot but go forward. We concede no ground. We must move forward, not afraid of any of our enemies, whether they be persecution. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. What a gift. Whether they be trials, you're to count it all joy. Whether they be difficulties in family, at work, in the church, we are to rest in the union that we have with one another in the church. Here I stand. Here you stand. We can do no other. We stand in awe at the greatness and grandeur of our mighty God. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, we come before you trembling and asking that you would help us. I pray for our church in this new year that we would be abandoned to the Holy Spirit. Lord, there's so much of me in my life, and I'm begging you, Lord, start here. I'm asking you that in this congregation, the world would see Christ, that he might increase and we might decrease. Oh, Father, do your work in spite of the weakness of each one of us. Do your work. May your power be made perfect in weakness. Lord, bless this congregation who are already blessed with every spiritual blessing. Open their eyes to the blessings. Open their mouths with praise. Oh Lord, and may we go forward no longer in defeat, but with great courage. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.